Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody out today. Let's all stand for our first song. Read back hymnal, page 87. The children will definitely know this one. Page 87. At the bottom of the page. You may be seated. Turn over to page 404. 404.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brad. Good songs this morning. And I like the last one, Heavenly Sunlight. That is something that we are to always enjoy. And don't we have a beautiful day today to worship the Lord? That's beautiful out there today. And it should be a reminder to us, as our Sunday school lesson said, of the glory of God. And I hope today that we will take into consideration the glory that God has given us to observe. Now, I did cause a little bit of a problem because we got to talking about how that God made everything. And I started in my comment, I started with the sky. Then I started with the trees. You see them as you're looking out the window. And then I brought it on down to the grass. And we start to talking about the creatures, and I brought up the snake, and somebody helped Sister Joy out, and they got to point at Sister Joy's feet. Next thing I know, I heard that she had her feet up in the seat. Miss Joy, I hate to do you that way, but I thought everybody would enjoy that. Sound like some of my mischievousness is what I would call it, but it is good for us to have fun too. God did not create us to be a sad creature. I read something of a description of a Christian this past week, and what they said was the Christian religion has a idea that we are to be a sad, ho-hum group. I agree. Who? Why? We've got more to be happy about than anybody else. A lot of people think you got to go into church and just sit there and look. Be sad looking. But we're saved. We know we're going to heaven one of these days. And that's something to look forward to. And usually if you look forward to something, you start smiling about it. If you start looking forward to the things of God, I tell you what, you will enjoy them that much better. You know, every one of us from time to time, we get in our heads, we want a particular food, whether it's at a particular restaurant or wherever. We get in our minds, we want that food. We want that steak. We want that chicken sandwich, whatever it is. We get in our minds, that's what we want. And we start looking forward to it. And it'll even get to a point sometimes that we'll just start smiling, don't we? We just start smiling about it. And that's the way we ought to be about God's presence. Now, one thing that I have noticed, and I want you to take the exact opposite of this. Usually when I get that craving, you know, for that particular restaurant or that particular food, most of the time it never satisfies. It was not as good as what we thought. But that's the thing about God. When we look at what God is doing and we get to expecting and looking forward to it, it's always better. It will always be better when we get to enjoy those blessings of God and we look forward to it. He gives us those blessings and we just look forward to it, and it's always better. And that's what I want us to look forward to today in this service. I want us to be about the Lord's business today in this service. In the way of announcement today, I don't usually do this, but this is a prayer request also. In case you haven't heard, Sister Mona Weatherington's husband passed away early this morning. And so we need to be prayerful for her and her family. It was a sudden thing. She called me last night about midnight. He was actually in Memphis, and I don't know the circumstances, but she was asked in prayer. And this morning I called her, I guess about 6:30 this morning, and she called me back and said that he had just passed away. So do remember Sister Mona and her family this morning, so keep them in mind. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, but before we do that, we want to turn the service over to Brother Sam at this time for Children's Church. Brother Sam. All
right. Let's meet over here. Excuse me while I cross the stage. Hello, hello, hello. says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, to labor and heavy laden doesn't necessarily mean to be physically active and physically tired, but it means a burden in your heart. And when we have Jesus as our ally, we have Jesus, you know, he can be like that cart where I was taking that wood to. If you take it and give it to him, suddenly our burden is a lot lighter. And our worry is gone. Maybe the situation may still be there when everything is said and done, but the worry is gone. So if you're ever worried, and later in life, if you have a worry, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to Jesus. There's so much written about that, and there's a lot of good context in that. In other words, it's very true. So do y'all think you can repeat that verse after me? Y'all going to be in timeout in a minute. Hey, let's stand up here. I don't mean to pick on you. But stand up. I think you can say this. I want you to say it real loud, okay? Say this after me. You ready? You ready? Say it loud. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Give me some five right there.
Enjoyed the good lesson today for the kids, and I'm glad they got to enjoy the children's church this morning, and it's a good lesson for us all, but especially for the young ones, to put our burdens upon the Lord. And I'm glad for that verse, and I like to use that verse quite a bit myself, especially during revival times, and so we need to keep that in mind. With that being said, we want to move right along with our service today. Excuse me. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We've already had several prayer requests already in our services earlier today. Does anybody else have another prayer request? Maybe you'd like to repeat one that you mentioned earlier.
Tell me, pray for Landon, if you would, please.
Yes. Yes. Lord bless. Bless you, Brother Fabian. Let's do remember Landon. He said he was lost. And like Brother Fabian said, we can't save him, but we can help bear his burden a little bit and show him the way. And so let's be about the Lord's business today. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've heard that request already made today. Let's pray for convicting power. Come down in our churches. I'm going to say on both the lost and the saved, both. Yep. We need it. Amen. So let's be prayerful for that. I do want to add one thing with what Brother Garen said. He mentioned the truck driver. That's a sudden death in that time. But I also want to call to your attention, it was mentioned in prayer request here a couple of weeks ago about the young girl over here at Smyrna. She was up in St. Louis, and she didn't die. But all of a sudden, her life was changed. Car hit another car and knocked it into her, and it basically cut her legs off. Very sudden, changed her life. Other day, during the storm, there was three deaths. One tree fell on a car. You think, imagine the timing of that. I assumed the car was moving, I put it that way. But the fact of the matter is, the timing of that, just the car to be going by, tree fall on it, that's over. I didn't know about this one until today. A family went out to clear the driveway. Teenage girl. A limb fell out and hit her in the head. And they're taking her off life support today. You think about that. If you're not ready to meet the Lord today, you better start getting ready. And what I mean by that is, you don't know when that tree is going to fall. And it might not be a tree, it might be another car. It could be a sickness that hits. It could be like Sister Mona's husband, just a heart attack all of a sudden coming up. And if you're not ready, If you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you don't know you got salvation, you better get ready. Because it can happen that quick. I'd like to be able to snap my fingers, but I don't do that very well anymore. But the thing about it is, that's how quick it happens. So keep that in mind. And let's pray for our sinners. Let's pray for us that we'll be convicted also. Amen. Somebody else got a prayer request on your heart. I want us to be prayerful. Next Sunday is our business meeting, and we are going to try to elect a helper for our revival. I want us to pray about that. We need the man that God wants. We do not need a popularity contest. We don't need the one that we think that'll reach the kids. We don't need the ones that we think will reach the older ones. We need the one God wants. And that's what I want you to pray for. God, show us who we need to elect as a helper for our revival. So keep that in mind. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Appreciate each and every one being here today. Let's be about God's business in this service. And let's ask God to come in and meet with us in a great big way today. Anybody else? Amen. Everybody that would, let's come up to the altar and let's have an altar of prayer at this time. Everybody that would like to come up, let's pray on these matters. Let's pray for these that are unsaved. Don't forget to pray for Landon. If you got children that are either lost or might be getting to the age of accountability, pray for them. If you've got an adult friend that might be lost, pray for them. Let's all pray is the main thing. Everybody that will, let's pray.
Everybody knows this song here pretty much. Sheltered in the arms of God. If you know it, sing along.
Oh. like a river attendeth my way. When sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul.
Come up for the singing today. Some may like to join them from Sunday to Sunday, don't expect a very special invitation. Just come on up. We want everybody to come up and be in the choir area and to sing. I especially like to see our young people up here, and so. I want to encourage them to make an effort to come up and be a part of our singing. Does anybody have a word of testimony on your heart? It is good for us to be able to sing that song. It is well with my soul. It's got a great meaning, doesn't it? And it's got a great thought in the fact that we can make that statement. A lot of people ask the question, well, how in the world do you know that it is well with your soul? You see, the Spirit of God, it bore witness with my soul, and He gave me an assurance. He gave me a definite knowing that He changed my insides and He changed my direction. And that's something that God's Spirit does for us. He lets us see the difference. Maybe seeing is a little different way of putting it. We actually feel it, but we see the difference in the fact that the Spirit of God deals with us and we feel that difference. We see the difference in ourselves. Thus, we know it is well with our soul. Appreciate that today. Appreciate the song service. Appreciate everybody following the Lord, and I want to encourage you to do that still today. Anybody got anything on your heart? I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to use this thing very much today. I'm hoping my legs are getting stronger enough that I can maybe not have to use the stool so much. So pray for me, and we'll try our best to get back to being somewhat normal is what we'll try to do. So be prayerful for us, and let's all pray that the Lord's will be done. And so at any time, if the Lord leads, you follow. I don't care if I'm preaching. And one thing that I want to say too is, especially for those that might be unsaved today, do not think that you have to wait until I'm done preaching to come to the altar. I've heard a lot of people testify to that over the years. Well, I was waiting until the preacher got done. If the Lord is dealing with your soul right then, is the best time to seek the Lord. Right then. So go ahead and start calling on. This is a convenient place. It is a good place for people to come and be saved. These benches up here in front. But the fact of the matter, you don't have to be there. You can get saved right where you're at. But the other fact of the matter is, if you are determined not to go up front, guess what? You're putting that between you and being saved. And so you do what the Lord tells you to do. He'll tell you where you need to be up there or whether you just need to go ahead and pray. See, it gets down to a thing of pride is what it is. We think that, well, we don't have to be up there. And we'll say, well, I don't want to go up there. That's pride. That's pride. And God's not going to save a proud heart. So what I ask you to do today is you seek God. You do it in your way is what I want you to do. Okay, anything else to be said? We're going to take a reading lesson from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. The 19th chapter of 1 Kings. This should be a familiar story out of the scripture to most people. I use parts of this from time to time, so I hope that you'll be prayerful for us today. But I'm going to start the sermon off a little bit different in a way of announcing, I guess what you'd say, the idea of what we're going to preach on today. My question is today, and I heard this question talked about just a little bit one day this week, and it came back to mind as I was looking at this. And in the story, they said there was a place, and this was over in Israel, was what it, where it was, that after a certain event happened, there was a cave that was revealed. They never knew it was there before. But the mouth of the cave, the dirt, the rocks, and everything slipped away from it. Inside of that cave, and they showed the cave entrance, and it was not even half the size of one of those doors back there. And they said inside it opened up into a beautiful room that was there. Now, I've done a little bit of caving in my time, very little, I will say that. A lot of people use that as a hobby. They like to go and crawl through caves, and I see heads shaking up me. And that's somewhat the way I am, too. I have to admit that, not me. But it is a very good thing for people to do because you can get back in there. Always make sure you carry a line. Make sure you carry somebody who knows what they're doing. Make sure you have a light. The reason for that is you can see some beautiful hidden treasures. I remember years ago when we were on vacation in Missouri, we went in a cave, and I don't remember now just how many hundreds of feet we went down. But we went down into this cave, and in there was some beautiful sights, different colors, stalactites and stalagmites. No, that's the stones that comes up from the ground, and those that comes down from the ceiling. Looks like teeth is the way I'll describe it. But it is very beautiful to look upon. I've heard them talk about Ruby Falls. I don't think we've ever been there. But they talk about the beauty of it. There's other places that has a great amount of beauty in these caves. But like I said, at one time, that was hidden. That cave that they talked about in Israel was hidden. Now our thought today is going to be a hidden treasure. Places where that you think there's nothing beautiful about that place. A lot of times I look at pictures of the desert, and you see maybe sand dunes. Maybe you see a few scattered plants. And you think, well, that's got its beauty, but that's not beautiful to me. But if you look into them, there are hidden treasures in that place. And what I want you today to look at today in this message is for a hidden treasure. That's what I want you to look for today. a hidden treasure like that cave, that maybe was just a very small entrance. Maybe you had to wiggle through it. I remember hearing some people talk about they went into a cave one time and they got down to a place where they had to get down on their bellies. Notice I said bellies, not on their hands and knees. And they crawled through a very small opening, but it went into a great, big, beautiful room. That was the hidden treasure that they found. In our message today, as I said, we're taking a reading lesson from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. As I said, this should be somewhat familiar. It says in the 9th verse, and this is speaking about Elijah, where that when he came out of from the period of time in which that there had been a great drought, and he had challenged the prophets of Baal, and he had defeated them by the power of God and actually slew every one of those prophets, and then prayed for the rain to come back, and the rain came down, and it gave Israel water again. But a woman, Jezebel, the queen of Israel at that time, she threatened him with his life, and so he turned tail and run. Yeah, he turned tail and run. And what he did, he went out into the wilderness area there, and what he did is he was running. God fed him two meals, and he went in the strength of that for 40 days in those two meals. And he went all the way from the land of Judah down to Mount Horeb, and there he abode in a cave. And God asked him a question. And it says, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here? Good question for us all today. What are you doing here today? Did you come to worship? Did you come here to give God glory? Did you come here to get saved today? That is a good question, but this was the question the Lord asked Elijah in that day. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets, and with the sword, and I only am left. Boy, he was down and out, wasn't he? He was the last one to worship God, and that was all that was left, he said. And he says, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. This is God speaking to Elijah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break it in pieces, and the rocks, before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And it says, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, his outer clothing, and went out and stood in the entry of the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's our reading lesson this morning, verses 9 through 13. In this cave. How many of you has really ever been into a cave? Few hands going up. The fact of the matter is, we usually think of a cave as being a dirty place. Maybe very moist, probably stinks a little bit. But there are great treasures in that cave. I talked about the beauties that can be found there. Here in this time, Elijah went to the mountain of God. That's what Horeb was. You might say, well, what is Mount Horeb? That was the place where Moses received the law of God. Moses went up there and he spent 40 days up there in the top of the mountain. What the Bible tells us about that there was such a fire in that day that the mountain was actually scorched by the fire of God in that day. So I would say, knowing the power of God, first of all, that God's fire had burned it, that was not a very beautiful place. But the fact of the matter is as Elijah got there, he found a cave. Now the cave in his mind, it was a place to get him out of the weather. In the early days of people, that was a usual place of abode. They lived in there. We've heard of cavemen from the time that we were children. The cavemen, they lived in those caves. They lived their lives. They cooked, they ate, they slept in caves. And this was still something that was very prevalent in the days of Elijah. It was a convenient place to get out of the weather, to get away from the creatures that might take their lives, to hide from people that might be looking for him was Elijah's ideals. It got him out of sight, you might say out of mind, but there Elijah found a great treasure in that place. I have spent many days in which that I was working, maybe out in the open, maybe I was in a truck, maybe I was on a lift or some other piece of equipment, and just looking at it at that time and at that moment, I looked at it and I kind of said, boy, there's nothing here but just me. The God is not here in my mind. Maybe I really didn't even have God on my mind. But all of a sudden, God started speaking to me. And as that voice started speaking to me, I started getting a picture of different things. And that picture opened up into a beautiful view. Now Elijah, he'd been in that cave, I don't know, I'd say a few hours, but the fact of the matter, God showed him something great. And what he showed him in that day was three things that in man's mind was very great in that day. He saw a great wind. He saw an earthquake. He saw fire coming down from heaven. You want to call it a lightning bolt? Hey, did you see any of that stuff the other day? You probably saw a great wind. You probably saw lightning flashing. And these are the powers of God here upon the earth. When I think about lightning, I usually go back to a memory of an old tree that stood not too far from our house, and how that lightning disintegrated that tree. And I'm talking about a tree probably big as this pulpit here at about this height. And when the lightning got done with it, the largest piece of it was about that big around and about my height. That showed the power of God. In the wind that we see from time to time, we saw pictures on the news of the wind and what it did, and we experienced that. I watched a man other day on a newscast as a gust of wind hit him down in downtown Nashville, and what he did was he turned into it and leaned against it and did not speak, because that the wind was so heavy upon him. Thank God I have not experienced an earthquake. I haven't experienced one of them. Don't want to. But they tell me it is an experience that is really, it kind of gets into your mind. The earth starts to shake. You feel it moving under your feet. You feel so uneasy. You try to walk away from it, but you can't get away from it. It may shake the very foundations of homes. We saw that in the videos of Turkey here a few weeks ago, causing buildings to collapse. We even see where trees fall over and such as that, out of the earth quaking. Now, in this time, Elijah saw these three powerful things that was so visible to him that he understood the power of God in that day. But the part that really got his attention was the still, small voice of God. Listen to this. This was God speaking. This was God showing his power. It was God using that still, small voice to reveal God unto him. You see, the things that most people would have thought that would have showed the power of God would have been the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. But God's power was shown in the still, small voice that was there. Each one of us who has ever been saved, we have experienced that still, small voice as it brought to us the attention that God showed us. Maybe we didn't hear it in a literal way, but we felt the speaking of God within our souls. It let us know that we are saved. I've heard countless people over the years where the voice of God let them know you're saved. It allowed them to feel that thing that God had put within their heart. Something as little as just a little voice was where the power was at. Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment about another scene of a cave. In this, you'll find this in the 11th chapter of the book of John. In the 11th chapter of John, we have the story how that Jesus came or was summoned by Mary and Martha because that Lazarus was sick. Now, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit in this. You know the story. Jesus delayed his arrival by 4 days. That reason was he wanted the people to know that Lazarus was really dead. That was why the 4 days was there. The Jews, that was their rule. If somebody stayed dead 4 days, they were really dead. Now you might say, well, why 4 days? Well, the idea was this. If they just seemed to be dead, they would get well enough that they could revive enough that they'd let people know they were dead. They usually, in those days, they had ways of showing whether or not they come back to life or not. Now, they had to go ahead and bury them, but so they did that. And in Lazarus' case, they had put him in a cave nearby to their home. And in that cave, they laid the body of Lazarus. And the fact of the matter, they had wrapped him up even as he was dead. And Mary and Martha and the people of Bethany were sure that he was so dead that they had mourned for these 4 days. Now Jesus shows up on this 4th day. And Martha, hearing that Jesus had come, she went to him and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Now, what the scripture tells us, Jesus said, thy brother shall live. I want us to look about us today and look at the ones that we have not heard say they have been saved by the grace of God. Look at them, and I want you to ask yourself a question. Can they be saved? Nobody jumped up and said yes. Are we like the Martha and Mary was? You see, they had worried about his flesh. They had thought about the beginning of the matter. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. They were not thinking about the long run of the matter. Jesus had a purpose in all of this. And what he said to her, he said, she said, excuse me, back it up. What she said, he said, she will live, he will live again. But Martha said, I know that he'll live in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, today, we as a people of the church here at Murfreesboro, we need to get into our minds, these sinners can be saved. They can be resurrected. They can be made alive. And I'm not talking about the physical death that they have. These that are unsaved are spiritually dead today. They are as same as dead physically, but it's spiritually. And the resurrector, Jesus Christ, can bring them back to life. But they've got to find that hidden treasure. They do. They've got to find that hidden treasure. Jesus went on and he talked to Mary. And Mary said virtually the same thing. And Jesus seeing and hearing these things, he was crying about it. And I believe he wept because of the lack of faith of the people. Now, in the 38th verse, Jesus says they came to where that Lazarus was buried. And what it says in that place, it was a cave, like I told you. And a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take the stone away. Take ye away the stone is the actual quote. What was their words to him? My Lord, he stinks by now. Where is our faith today? You see, Elijah had, in a sense, lost a certain amount of faith. He had stood up before the prophets of Baal, and he had cried unto the Lord, show them that you are the true God and that I'm your prophet. But yet one woman, when she said, I'm going to kill you, he took off and run. Are we guilty? Are we guilty of turning the other way from time to time? Lord, he stinks by now. Nevertheless, Lord, we'll take the stone away. Then Jesus started talking to God. He said I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. That's what he told them, excuse me. Then after they had took the stone, Jesus started talking to God. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me, hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, all of this was done that they might believe. Today, this message is being said to you that you might believe. Now, if I went into a certain area of my property and I found a great treasure that was there, let's put it into mining sorts. What I'm talking about today is, if I happened to find a small cave and I went in there and I found a great treasure, most of the time we'd say gold or even silver is what we would say. And if I started looking at that and it was more than I could handle myself, and I came to you and I said, Brother Brad, I need some help. Would you take a few days off from work? And would you come and help me? I'm going to pay you a great big sum because this is a great big treasure that I have found. Would you come to help me? What's our answer? What is our answer to that? Well, he's a good friend. He's our pastor. But I've got to, You remember the story how that the people were bid to the wedding feast? Oh, I bought a yoke of oxen, Lord. I can't come. I'm not saying Brother Brad's going to do that now. I believe he's going to come help me. I wouldn't have asked him if I didn't believe he'd come help me now. But you see, I bought a yoke of oxen and I need to go try them. I went and I bought a piece of land. I need to do that. Lord, I married me a wife. You better not do that. You get in trouble. The thing that I want you to think about today is there is a treasure that is hidden here in this body. And it's important for us to try to show that treasure to them as if it was a treasure that is in our minds that is so valuable. We wanted everybody to share in that treasure. That's what we're talking about today. There is a hidden treasure in this church. The treasure in that day was not in the cave. The treasure itself was not in the fact of the stone being rolled away, but in the fact that the people saw Jesus for who he was. The treasure, the hidden treasure in that day. If you go back a few verses, you'll hear, could he have not saved Lazarus? He has done so many wonderful works. Could he have not saved his friend? Oh, he loved him so. Could he have not? Jesus' words to them, if thou wilt believe, you will see the glory of God. That's what I'm talking about today. There is a hidden treasure here in this church. And if we want to see the glory of God, if we'll believe that these things are going to happen, we can see the glory of God. We can see these children that are lost and away from God. We can see these men and women that do not know the greatness of God. They can see that. Yes, there's some efforts to being made. There's got to be some belief, first of all, on our part. Had you ever thought about the guys that moved that stone? Think about it. When Jesus came forth of the grave, the angels done it. But the ones that were there with Mary and Martha, whoever had enough faith to take hold of that stone, yeah, I know we probably stinking, but I'll move it. That's just a little bit of faith. It's just a little bit of faith that maybe God is going to show a great big treasure. And somebody grabbed a hold of those stones. Might have been Peter. It might have been James, or it might have just been a bystander. But the fact of the matter today, God is going to take something that you have within yourself and use it to give glory to God. When Jesus started talking, the last words he said, Lazarus, come forth. We as a church today, we don't have the power of God to save, as Brother Fabian said, but we have the power of God to pray, to move the stone, to say the words, to do the work that is there. That's what we have. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, this is the chapter of faith is what we find. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 11th chapter, excuse me, the verse here, first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In 1849, let's get a little history lesson in here. There was the great gold rush that went to California. You see, there was men that were already settled in California. The place was called Sutter's Mill. And the Sutter's Mill, it was a sawmill, but they had water traces there. And they got to finding pieces and nuggets of gold in that place. And what they determined after a little while, hey, this might be gold. Hey, these rocks may be valuable. Hey, this is something that we need to take a closer look at. And when they looked at it, they found very valuable treasure. Now, what happened after that? The word got out. Let me give you a backstory on Sutter's Mill. Old man Sutter said to his workers, don't y'all tell nobody. Don't y'all tell nobody. I'll share it with you. You just do the work, you dig it up. Somebody talked. They told somebody, there is a treasure in California. It's gold. There's gold in them there hills, as the statement was. There's gold, and you can get rich from the gold that's in California. I want you to know today, sinner friend, you can get richer than anybody did in California in that day. For the greatest riches that there is the salvation of Jesus Christ in your heart. Now, what I want us to do today in this service is to remember not to keep it to ourselves, but to tell somebody about the great treasure that is found in this church house. We need to tell them about the treasure of Jesus Christ. The words here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what happened after that word got out? People from the east coast of the United States, I'm talking all the way up and down there, they had not a parcel of ground in California, but they left out their homes, their livings, and they went to California hoping for a gold hit, for a gold mine. And as those men went into those places searching, why did they do it? Why did they do such a thing? They believed they could find gold. Do you believe we can find gold today? Oh, I'm not talking about that kind of gold. I'm talking about this kind of gold. This great treasure that is here. That Spirit of God that moves within us. It's the substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping to see the Spirit moving in a great way. I'm believing that it can happen. Brother Sam said, how many was it got saved? In that meeting you talked about? 19. Biggest service I ever saw was 11. Whew, I'd love to see that again. Do you believe it could happen again? I do. I've seen it happen before. That was one nugget for me that I've had. Actually, I've seen several little nuggets. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about finding that hidden treasure that is in this church. And yes, we have that treasure here in our church. We have the ability to show the world Jesus Christ. We have the ability to let them feel God. I have one other scripture for you, and it was a parable of our Lord. You'll find it in the 14th chapter, and since I've already alluded to it just a little bit, but in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, 44th verse, and it says, and again the kingdom of heaven, 44th verse. Again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. This is the treasure we're talking about. is salvation. It's not only salvation, it's God's Spirit. It's not only salvation in God's Spirit, but it's God using us to mine it with. It's not only God's Spirit and His salvation and us getting to work for God, it is the payment of God. You see, when I talked about I'd found that great treasure, and I wanted Brother Brad to help me out. Now, I'd look around and I'd love for Grace to help me too. I would. I'd put her to work in this field. I'd look around, I'd love for Brother Chad to help me. I can look around and I'd see Sister Heather. She's already digging, ready to dig in and start working. I can look around and I can see different ones that would be willing to get their hands dirty in that field that was there. Yeah, we're going to have to turn some stones over. Yeah, we're going to have to do a little bit of long hours of praying. Yes, we're going to have to do a few things that maybe we're not accustomed to do it, but we've done it in times past, and it might make us just a little bit sore spiritually. But there's a treasure down there. You know what I see as a treasure? This girl here getting saved, that boy back there, that little girl there, that little boy there. I see that one over there, and I see this and that one and that one and that one. I see all of them getting saved. I see the church being revived. I see these things coming up in our eyes. And you know what? It can happen. But what he said, this man, he found that great treasure. But what did he do? It said that he sold all that he had to buy that one field. I don't use this term enough, I don't think. I read a book years ago about being all in. I referred to it other night in Bible study, and what the story was. There was a man or a group of men who were going on the mission field. And they were so all in to doing the work of God, they sold all their possessions that they had. And they bought coffins. Coffins? They took what things that they needed to have on the mission field, and that was their steamer trunk, if you want to call it, their luggage. And they put it in that coffin. And they went to the work of God saying, it's all or nothing. I'm all in, God. If it takes my life, I'm in. But it's all about you, God. That man sold all that he had just to buy the field. Somebody's out there looking at this. Oh, preacher, that's asking a lot. Did you ever think about what Jesus did for you? Did he not leave his home? Did he not give up the riches of heaven? Did he not come into this world and basically be born poor as could be? He had nothing. Did not Jesus do all of that? Live to the very best that there could be. And then gave it all away again that I might be saved. I want you to put that in your term. We, if you want to. He sold all that he had. Elijah, what are you here for today? Why are we here? Why are we here? It's
keep these things on our hearts, in our minds. We've got a field here that's got a great treasure in it. Don't you want to see that treasure? Are you willing to turn over a stone or two? Are you willing to tell somebody about it? Hey, we need more workers in the field, don't we? We need some workers. Brother Brad, you got somebody you can get to help me? Brother Sam? Think about it. I bet Sister Shirley knows somebody can help me. Think about it. But Sister Lane, who you know? We can bring them in, can't we? And they can turn these rocks over. You know, there's more in that treasure there than we can ever spend. Because it's a great, great treasure. Brother Brad, that's my message today. Do you want to have a part in this treasure? If we do, you got to be like those old men left the East Coast to go to California. They didn't see a stick of, they didn't see a nugget of gold, but they left every bit of it on account they heard about it. Let's be about God's business. Brother Brad, while we sing.
One and the church hymnal 321.